Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. A radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment.
He's got a team built around home runs.
Yeah, I think Tony's got a good feel talking to him for what this team can do offensively as Engel drives it deep to left field, back at the wall, and Adam Engel flashes the power here in the first inning.
I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but he can hit the ball out of the park now. And what we saw, again, it wasn't quite the distance of Hura, but it was into the teeth of what is a substantial wind blowing straight in from left center field. So this ball was hit awfully hard, and the wind could not keep it in the park. And just like that, a 3-0 game becomes a 3-2 game.
It's Bernstein and Rahimi, middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
That's some good bat crack right there. That sounded home runny right there. Ooh. This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago, and it is time now to welcome one of our favorite White Sox guests. Vinny Duber is on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apford.com. And as always, check him out on the Twitch stream, because he's got that cool background that others don't have. And the joke was made two weeks ago that he was coming to us from 1974. But here he is once again. Vinny, how are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you doing?
Great. That was baseball at its spring training-ist, when you get all excited to watch a game. You're like, yeah, baseball! Baseball's on! And then it's some bum-ass pitcher, you don't know who it is, and all of a sudden you lose 7-2. You're like, I don't want to watch any of this stuff. But it was certainly good to see people actually on the field playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every offseason we deal with this. It's a long wait, a long winter, certainly here in Chicago, and I think this year even more so with what's been going on all over the place. And so people getting to see some sunshine and some green grass is never a bad thing. The good news yesterday for the White Sox was that game didn't count. It might have been a bad news for some of the pitchers who, you know, are trying to make a long shot run at a roster spot, but all these games are exhibitions, so the results don't matter quite as much as the experience at this point.
Yeah, the ball was carrying pretty well, to say the least, as well. And I was laughing earlier because I was texting you, and I'm like, Adam Engel's batting third. Cool. And then you reminded me of the excellent stat, and then Engel just totally adds on in the game.
Adam backed me up a little bit there. Yeah, I reminded you, Layla, that he was the first home run in the playoffs last year. First White Sox playoff home run since 2008. And then, of course, who hits the first spring training run home run here in 2021, and it's Angle again. Hey, that guy's kind of made himself a well-rounded player here. I think, a few years ago, batting third, Adam Angle, that would have been, sent Twitter crazy, even if it wasn't a spring training game. And now he's kind of a guy that people are kind of almost clamoring for to get some more playing time out in the outfield.
You know, I have to admit, throughout this show, during the commercial breaks, I have been doing a deep dive on Jerry Nairn, because I looked at that lineup card that Chuck Garfine posted and other people, and then I'm getting all of the stories to explain the color coding and the calligraphy and the Hebrew and everything that's going on, and reading about his involvement with Team Israel. And I've been seeing some emails from a couple of people who played on Team Israel talking about him, and it's been really strange. From the course of like the first segment of the show until now, I didn't know what a strong presence he is and how widely respected Jerry Nairn is among some really smart people in baseball. I'm hearing behind the scenes he may play more of an important role than I guess I once thought on this team.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a former big league manager. He's managed in a couple different spots, and he has so much experience. I think we've talked so much this year since Tony La Russa was hired about how important that's going to be. Just the fact that he has all this experience, he's won so much, he's done so much, and that carries a lot of weight with guys in the clubhouse. And I think Jerry Nairn probably has a little bit of the same thing. You know, he's not a World Series winning manager like Tony La Russa is, a Hall of Famer, but he's a guy who's done it before and has done a lot in the game. Certainly coaching the last several decades. I mean, he's a guy who Jonathan Lucroy, who's in White Sox camp, a non-roster invitee, might end up being the backup catcher on this team, depending on how that position battle plays out, talks glowingly about Jerry Nairn. Jerry Nairn played a role in getting Jonathan Lucroy into White Sox camp. When Jonathan Lucroy was in Milwaukee, Jerry Nairn was the bench coach there. And Jonathan Lucroy was one of the best catchers in baseball at the time. So certainly you got to like, if you're somebody who's, rooting for Zach Collins or rooting for your mean Mercedes to kind of take that next step to jump up and become a Major League Baseball player, Jerry Nairn's the guy that's going to help them do that. Certainly he's the guy that's tasked with that. And his track record would lead you to believe that he'll only have a positive effect.
Well, lost in the Ethan Katz love, which is appropriate, and the Tony La Russa hiring, I think, are those details like Jerry Nairn now being part of the staff, and also Frank Minichino with another year. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with Minichino and the hitters. I do think he's had an effect on Adam Angle, too. And we saw that in a positive way last season. But to have an actual real season with this lineup is going to be really key.
Yeah, and I think the thing that he's talked about is he doesn't sugarcoat his expectations at all. I mean, he thinks that Eloy Jimenez can hit in the mid 300s and be this MVP candidate and everything, and that's good. You want to hear that to match up with the stuff that you hear from the players. When Eloy Jimenez says, "I think I'll be an MVP one day," that's great confidence, and that makes for a fun headline. But there's guys behind the scenes that are pushing him to try and meet those goals. And I think you mentioned Ethan Katz. Ethan Katz has a big spotlight on him because of what Dylan Cease and what Michael Kopech kind of need to do for this team this year, what he has done already with Lucas Giolito. But you're absolutely right, guys like Frank Minichino helping these guys who are good and who are, have broken out to keep jumping up higher and keep doing even more. That's what makes you a consistent contending team.
What was the BP showdown between Minichino and Jim Thome?
Let's put it this way. It looked like it had a lot of personality, didn't it? It looked like the competitive juices were certainly flowing there. I think Minichino got a hit at one point or maybe even an extra base hit at one point. I saw a video of him doing a little stare down of Jim Thome. So, I don't know how you could stare down Jim Thome. He's like the friendliest man in the universe, but Frank Minichino found a way to do it.
That is an accurate description of Jim Thome. What was your impression of Yoan Moncada? His legs are what we're all trying to see. Is he going to have that same kind of speed after having a little bit of a rest and still recovering in some way, shape, or form from his COVID diagnosis last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the baseline thing you're looking for is he going to have the energy, right? I mean, that was what we heard from him, during this camp and even dating back to last season, just talking about every day. It was a battle for him to try and find energy to do anything. I mean, he said, I think last week when we were talking to him, I didn't have the energy to do anything. And, you know, that he went out there and played baseball and played in 50-something regular season games during a 60-game season. I mean, it's pretty amazing that he was able to do that while going through what he was going through, the after effects of that COVID infection. And to see him in the very first inning of spring training this year go and steal a base, that's promising, because he didn't even try to steal a base last year. And, you know, for somebody who wants to get back and show that he is the kind of player that he was when he broke out in 2019, that breakout season, you know, that had everybody talking future MVP candidate Yoan Moncada, to go out and show that he has the baseline thing of being able to just muster the energy to go out and do baseball stuff, that's a very positive sign.
With Yasmani Grandal out with knee inflammation, it raised the question, and it made us confront the idea of what this team could look like relying on backup catching. It's not good. And Grandal has an outsized importance because of pitch framing, because of the marginal win and all the value that he provides there. As much as people don't want to talk about it, it matters as long as we get human umpires back there. And I don't think Lucroy is any good anymore. Guy had one really, really good season with the Brewers, and that was it. And we don't know about the rest of these guys in Yermin, Mercedes, and Sebi Zavala, and some of these other names. Do they need, or might they need, to find better backup catching just to ensure that this isn't what keeps them from winning a World Series?
At the moment, I think they have some of the elements that you would be looking for, right? I mean, Zach Collins has not gotten much opportunity to play to bat consistently in the major leagues. The last time he did have opportunity to bat consistently in the minor leagues in 2019, he put up some incredible numbers. I mean, his on-base percentage was north of 400. He hit a ton of home runs. This is a guy who has shown that he can swing the bat and deserves the chance to try and do it at the major league level on a consistent, or at least as a backup catcher basis. But yeah, the defensive questions have been there since he was drafted. They haven't gone away, and that's going to be a thing. Jonathan Lucroy, on the other hand, you know, has had experience handling pitching staffs. He's had experience either catching or facing as a hitter some of the pitchers who are on this White Sox pitching staff right now. He has had times in his career, granted years ago, when he was putting up really good framing numbers when he was working with Jerry Nairn, to bring that all back. So those elements are there. They might not all be in one guy, though. And so, I think that you bring up something that's definitely valid. I think that you've seen in years past, backup catchers are something you can find at the trade deadline if need be, and for not a very high cost. Certainly, Yasmani Grandal is expected to shoulder a big load for this team. And I think, too, last year he probably would have, if not for James McCann being so good last year. I mean, James McCann had a better season offensively last year than he did when he went to the All-Star game in 2019. And so there was a need to get his bat in the lineup. And so that, you know, whether that meant Yasmani shifting over to first base every once in a while or playing DH, it meant that safety net looked really good. And obviously, James McCann is now a starting catcher in the major leagues, which he earned that job, you know, with the Mets. So, there's valid reasons to be worried about that, perhaps. But you got to wait and see. Maybe Collins makes the team. And because he's only catching once every 5 days, maybe that means that the defensive issues are not so glaring. Or because Jonathan Lucroy is only playing once every 5 days, if he were the one to win that job, maybe the offensive issues are not as glaring. So you just got to kind of see how it plays out. I think they have some of the elements that you could be looking for.
We also got a good look at Andrew Vaughn, who told me, by the way, Vinny, that he would wear number 99 if he could. And
Vaughn,
he
99.
Ends up with two walks. I know. And that's a whole other issue for me. Cause like, really, are we really just going to reserve that for kind of a reason? But 81, Andrew Vaughn, whatever. He's got two walks under his belt, too. What did you think of just him in that position yesterday at the plate?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's looking for something to grab in terms of this guy being a reliable player who can hit every day at the major league level with the inexperience that he has. And I think at every turn, no matter how impressed you might be from an exhibition game or how impressed you might have been from watching him face White Sox pitchers last summer in summer camp, he's given you reason to think that he might be reliable. I mean, he hasn't given you any reason to think opposite at the very least. And so going out there and drawing a couple walks yesterday, yeah, he didn't hit a home run like what you expect a DH to do. But in drawing a couple walks, he showed another aspect of his game that people describe him as a professional hitter, you know, the real deal at the plate. You've got to be able to do all those things, and I think that's important. And certainly the rave reviews keep coming, be it from Tony La Russa or Rick Hahn or Vaughn's teammates. So certainly I think White Sox fans aren't going to agree until they see it on a consistent basis in regular season games that count. But so far, he's done everything that he can do with, you know, being able to show that he could do it.
Let him wear 99. That's all I want. It's not that
Is he
sacred.
Not allowed to? Is there an MLB rule?
I don't know.
My guess is that he wants a different number. And because, I mean, you've seen it now change a few times. We've seen that with other guys where, you know, what was it? Nick Madrigal was wearing like 92 for a couple springs in a row. And then he just gets to the majors and, yeah, he wears number one. So perhaps Andrew Vaughn has a different number in mind and he's just taking what they give him until he's actually allowed to pick.
Hey, Vinny, have my fears in large part been allayed regarding the cultural push and pull? And I was sort of talking through this earlier with seeing Tim Anderson's latest comments on the score with, and he was talking to Danny Parkins, and then they put it on a T-shirt and they embrace it and they mention it on the broadcast, and they're leaning into some of this stuff. I think my larger fear that somehow Tony La Russa and old school whatever he represents, that would put a damper on this sort of ebullient multicultural exuberance. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we may have some issues here and there, possibly still, but I think I can set aside larger fears that the shared sort of zeitgeist of this team is going to be in any way repressed.
I think it's a strength, and the White Sox want it to continue to be a strength, right? I mean, Tony La Russa works for the White Sox, and the White Sox, you know, want this to be what they send out there. They used Tim Anderson's "Change the Game" comments as their slogan for the last 2 years. I mean, that's a quote where Tim Anderson's talking about how boring baseball is. And they used it as their team's official marketing slogan. I don't think they want to turn that away at all. And I think Tony La Russa knows that. Tony La Russa spent the entire spring talking about how much he loved that the chemistry with this clubhouse was already there, how much he found that to be a strength and that he wanted that to continue to be a strength. You saw when Jose Abreu showed up to camp the other day after being out with the positive COVID test, there's banners hanging that say, "Welcome, Jose. We're so glad to have you." There's balloons in the clubhouse. I mean, it doesn't seem like they're not having fun. I got to be honest with you. And it was very apparent how much fun they were having on the field last year, certainly being, you know, I think you can see it and hear it on TV, but being in the ballpark, you could really notice it with no other fans around, the guys yelling at each other and laughing in the dugout and stuff like that. That to me is a strength, and certainly while the expectations are getting higher and people are serious about winning, I don't think they want that to change. And all the guys have said have been very complimentary, in fact, of the family atmosphere that Tony La Russa says that he wants to build here. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that's going away.
I also feel like they're including us on the accountability there in talking about it publicly and making TA available for interviews and promoting everything they're still promoting. The availability and the candid nature of it all makes it sound like we're all in this at the same time as far as understanding. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about Tim Anderson specifically, I mean, the guy's not only the face of the franchise, he's a face of baseball now. And so, I mean, I think just from a sheer marketing standpoint, you want your guy to be out there, and that only helps to publicize Tim Anderson, who's got such a great personality and brings so much to the game of baseball.
And we should note, Manny Ramirez indeed wore 99. So if, in fact, Andrew Vaughn wants to be Vaughn 99, it's there for him.
I don't know, though. I don't think that that's how it works. I think there is some sort of deference to Manny Ramirez. And I think, like, if you play baseball and you're a first-round pick and your last name is Vaughn and you're good, then you deserve 99.
I'm with you. Well, we'll take up the cause. Vinny Duber, thank you, as always. Appreciate it much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
That is Vinny Duber from NBC Sports Chicago. When we come back, we have the latest reason that Russell Wilson's name is being linked to the Chicago Bears. We've got one of football's prominent insiders drawing another connection between Russell Wilson and the Bears. That's next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's start with the Chicago Bears. Why is the Bears a good situation, a good fit for Russell Wilson? This is a guy who wants to win. I've never been around a better competitor. He wants to win, and he wants to win in style. The Chicago Bears allow you to do that. I was there for 3 years. Amazing place. If you win there, you're iconic.
Why would any quarterback in his right mind put Chicago on a short list of preferred destinations?
The reasoning of picking Chicago, I guess you'd have to ask Russell Wilson. It really could be as simple as, I've always wanted to be a Bear. Who knows, right?
Greg, was there one initially that you thought, oh, I'd like to see that?
For me, it's always been about the Chicago Bears. I know people are going to be like, what? Why? It doesn't make sense. But the Chicago Bears, with that defense, with them already having quarterback issues, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, the general manager, they're not trying to tie their hitch to Mitchell Trubisky or Nick Foles. And so you know that that's a situation where he can go in and he can impact it right away.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Got trade for Mariota.
Mariota, forget about him. He's no good either.
Radio.com Sports Station.
I don't know what the hell Brandon Marshall is talking about, but the question that I asked of Mike Sando, I think, still stands. He of the Athletic Seattle, trying to figure out why somebody would want to play in Chicago. You heard Greg Jennings' comments as well. And now we have the latest. And it comes from MMQB, the Monday Morning Quarterback. That is the weekly column that is written by the sort of standard bearer for such things, Peter King, now with NBC Sports. So I'm just going to read this graph, okay? Here it is. As for the Bears, I think there are three things at play. Chicago tight end Jimmy Graham is a good friend of Russell Wilson's, and he's told him good things about the team and the city. Wilson loves the sporting zeal of the city. The love for the Cubs, the love for the Bears, and might look at it like Chicago hasn't had a lot of great quarterbacks, or any, and I could be one. Maybe I could be the missing piece. How crazy would Chicago go if the Bears ever got great again? And I think he loves the city. And I will just leave that there.
I like the optimism.
Yeah.
We discuss a lot of doomsday scenarios on this show, you and I. Our brains naturally go to dark places. Whether it's Tony La Russa or the Bears or whatever else might be happening on planet Earth. And maybe we were looking at this in a different manner than we should. Maybe we should look at this on the upside. And let's not forget, Russell Wilson does love baseball. He was drafted, after all.
I can't see a baseball component to this. Is an NFL quarterback could think like, oh, boy, they really love the Cubs. Boy, I could be awesome in Chicago, and Chicago would love me. How weird would it be if the single free agent contract that most was looked at most quizzically by the NFL was all of that money to Jimmy Graham? And the irony, if Ryan Pace could be like, yeah, see, look what I was doing. Look what I was angling for. I might have overpaid Jimmy Graham, but that's what got me the shot at Russell Wilson. What?
Well, I'll say this. I joke about the Saints connections having to have some sort of selling point for Ryan Pace, and I too asked, why did you pay Jimmy Graham all that money when that wasn't exactly the going rate for tight end production? But the Jimmy Graham actually produced, and he's been a leader on this team. And if he somehow recruits Russell Wilson, then we have to give Ryan Pace some credit now, don't we?
Yeah, but it's, you know, also it's not a free agent acquisition, right? It is a it's just you want to know if you make this move that it's somebody who wants to be there. It's like the opposite of the Carson Wentz thing, where if you want to put together a package and then you find it, you know, eventually it's like, yeah, well, he doesn't want to go to the Bears, he doesn't want to be a part of it. You know, that's only a one piece to this whole puzzle, is his desire to be with a certain team. I don't know how that actually facilitates the acquisition or not.
This Football Morning in America column goes on to say, for now, I hear Wilson is dug in on the places where he would accept a deal if it comes to that. This is a good city to live in. It's why we're all here. It's fun. I love going to baseball games in the summer, too. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe Russell Wilson's on that vibe. Big city. Have a good time. Catch some baseball. Throw a couple touchdown passes. Maybe have a 4,000-yard season, and we would revere him as a god here for doing so. It's not the worst thing. But what are you giving up for him?
The way this is phrased, I mean, it sounds like Ring Lardner. Wilson loves the sporting zeal of the city. Do we have sporting zeal, or do we have, you know, Bob on the Northwest Side mispronouncing Trubisky? You know, is that enough? Is that a real thing? That Russell is like, yeah, Chicago's awesome, and he could... Sounds like Flula Borg talking about Wiener Circle or whatever it is. But this is, I don't know. I tend to think that such things are relatively meaningless. But when they come from Peter King, and he's reporting that Chicago tight end Jimmy Graham is a good friend of Wilson's, and he's told him good things about the team and the city. Okay, if that's a fact, that's great. I guess it's better than the opposite. It's better than him to sounding like Mohsin Mohammed and saying it's where wide receivers go to die, or it's where all he's got to do is go to Pro Football Reference and look at the quarterbacking history to know the moment he walked in, he'd be the man.
Why do you got to go to the bad place? Why do you got to bring up?
You
the
just said
the
that's
stats?
Where we go. We naturally do go there. I don't know.
We
don't
do.
Know. I would like a real.
But you know what's funny is that's enough somehow. In the NBA, by the way. That whole paragraph is enough in the NBA.
You're
that's
right.
That's enough to be like, he's going here. Like, that's right, enough. But, that would be enough.
But the NBA's weirder. The NFL has never operated quite like that. That's something unique to the NBA, of somebody just like getting in the mood to go play for a team and going to play for that team. And I don't know why that is, but you're right. That does have a total NBA vibe. It's like somebody told him that there's this place and it's awesome. They've got lemon pepper wings. Okay, I'll go play there because the wings are good.
The wings. Oh, did I just go to Lou Williams? Yes, I did. Different scenario. I enjoy this just because I'm a big believer of this is the third biggest city in the country. We don't deserve bad football. We should be better at this. So let's act like we deserve something better. Let's all raise our collective standards.
We absolutely
not
deserve bad football.
We can do better.
We've earned bad football. That's what we do. We this is our lot in life. We do deserve this. And maybe I have to go back to the conversation we had with Mike Sando and what I talked about, what I asked him about. Russell Wilson may just be that weird because he's weird. Maybe he does believe this thing. He's got that kind of cornball aspect, right? That maybe of all guys, some of that stuff like it actually does mean something to him more than it would a normal person because he's just kind of odd.
Breaking news. Athlete likes sports.
No, it's more than that. It's like, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe exactly what I don't think is quite right about Russell Wilson. But we talked about it with Santa. Like, it's something about my sensibility from being a reporter and from being around people. It's like, you know when you're not getting the full story on something, or you know when something isn't quite what it seems to be. And I can't put my finger on it with Russell Wilson, but there's just something that seems like every time he talks, it's sort of a performance. And I don't know, maybe that's just kind of how he lives and he's just kind of corny that way. But that were he to believe some of that stuff, I hope that they can play every angle possible.
So for you, those people are Russell Wilson and Shane?
Well, that's different.
Russell Wilson and Shane.
That's the first time that Shane Reardon and Russell Wilson have been comped in quite that regard. But Shane is in large part a bit. Although I have to say I was texting with him over the weekend because I was mentioning Mariano's has bone-in ribeye steaks at $7.99 a pound right now. And I shouldn't, this is a hack. This is kind of like the bacon, not quite like the bacon hack, the great bacon hack of Whole Foods back in the day when we had, Hot Bar. But.
Oh, the Hot Bar at Whole Foods is the best.
It's also unbelievably expensive unless you buy cooked bacon and then it's essentially free because it doesn't weigh very much. That was.
Don't kill my vibe, Dan.
But when you go to buy a ribeye steak, when you picture the classic look of a ribeye, and Shane and I were sort of lamenting this, but this is a market inefficiency. Most people value the rib portion of the ribeye. And you see there's that rib meat, like prime rib, right? The big part, the big pink part. And then there's that little layer of fat. And then above that is what is known as the cap. That's the decal, that's the rib cap, the chain, most commonly referred to as the cap. And people, when they buy a ribeye steak, want it to look like it looks in the pictures, where it's mostly rib meat and then just a little bit, maybe a quarter or so of cap meat. No, the cap is better. The cap is the single best part. The rib cap or the decal is the best bite on the cow. And sometimes they cut these steaks in a way that has it almost all cap and very just a little circle of the rib. That's the one you're looking for. That's the steak you want that most people go, oh, that looks weird. That doesn't look like a ribeye. It's better. So seek out that particular ratio of cap to rib and you will be a happier person.
The only time in this modern era when cap is actually valued.
It's so good though, and I was meant to go yesterday and I didn't get there yesterday, but if you see somebody at Mariano's and you know it's me in one of two places either by the discounted meat or the discounted baked goods, or if you see me face down in one of the sales bins full of steak, rummaging around, throwing around packages of steak, looking for just the right ratio of cap to rib meat, you know you found me. Please come up and say hello. Because that was, and I'm not kidding, because you will see me there at some point.
I love it. Also, whoever from 847 made my afternoon by saying, how do meatball fans even pronounce Russell Wilson's name? Would it be Wilson's?
I don't know. This Wilson's, this Wilsman, there's some less caller will actually be the defining moment for the Russell Wilson. Maybe it'll be Wilson Russell, or someone will invert it completely and call him Alshon Jeff Ayers or something like that. We have a very important show announcement, actually, that is in the offing here. We've got a programming announcement for something that is going to be happening on this show. That is going to remind you of something else that you once loved. We are reimagining something that is upcoming, and you are going to be a big part of it. I will tell you what I'm talking about next on Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and Rahimi, Sports Radio 670, The Score. We have something very cool that is going to be coming your way. And I urge you, as I am talking about some of this stuff, to go and check it out for yourself on our website. And all I will tell you, it is 670thescore.com/greatness. And you will see the Bernstein and Rahimi inaugural tournament of greatness. There it is. It is presented by Humana, a more human way to healthcare. And I guess the reason being, we could have brought back the tournament of bad. We've had enough bad. And I know we have fun with it, but we've had, after this 2020, after everything that we've all gone through and from which we are still continually emerging slowly, I think we can have just as much fun with a similar idea with the Tournament of Greatness. I'm going to do a bracket. You're going to do a bracket. Jay and Jordan are going to do a bracket. And you, the listener, are going to be involved, and there's going to be a fully listener-supplied bracket. Anything great. Anything. It could be finding a $20 bill in your pants. It could be...
Great.
Michael Jordan.
Great.
It could be a ribeye steak that's all cap meat. You know, something. Just say anything like that. Anything that you think is great, enter your suggestion right now at 670thescore.com/greatness. The submissions will be from Monday, March 1st through Wednesday, March 10th. The selection show is going to be on the 15th. Then we're going to have play-in games. You know how we've done this before, and the eventually culminating in the Final Four on Friday, April 2nd, and then Monday, April 5th, is going to be the championship where we determine the best thing. I can't wait.
I can't either. In fact, I was glad that we had a nice little segue about meat talk into the Tournament of Greatness, because that has to be on the list, I think.
Look, and here's what's going to happen is there are going to be, as we all put these lists together, Jay's going to be the ultimate editor of some of this stuff as we figure it out, because I know there's going to be repeats and recapitulations, and we want to make sure that the joy is in the matchups, right? The joy is in the differentiation of things that are great, or like, you know, waking up and realizing you have two more hours to sleep, something like that.
It's so good, or like... the feeling you have after you don't have your headache anymore. Or maybe it's just laughing at all of the names that people have submitted for Russell Wilson mispronunciations on the text line.
Very creative, too. There are some good ones in there. But just, it could be the simplest joys. It could be, you know, bold strokes. However you want to do it. So the Tournament of Greatness is going to, the inaugural Bernstein and Rahimi Tournament of Greatness is going to debut. My buddy, the Sultan of Guilt, says, what about finding $20 in Michael Jordan's pants? Yeah, go ahead. You want to add that as well? Like I say, be creative, and we'll figure it out. The 708 already waking up, getting high, and going back to sleep. More power
whatever
to you,
you
big
need.
Fella. Whatever blows your hair.
Somebody
back,
on Twitch says cheesy gordita crunch. Also great.
It's all valid. All of this is absolutely valid and will be taken under advisement and under consideration. And I want you to be a part of this and enjoy the Tournament of Greatness, sponsored by Humana, a more human way to healthcare. We will do transition with Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
420.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.